I was lucky. I went on a study tour of my Bible college to Turkey and Greece. And that top photo is actually at Corinth. So that's where we're actually looking at in this passage, where this letter was written for. So you can see, like, at the top there, that's the Temple of Apollo. If you, like, did a full, like, 180, you'd be able to see, like, the Acropolis on top of the hill where the other big temples were, looking over all Corinth and the ocean and all that. And you can actually see as well those sort of, like, rubble before the... They're actually a heap of shops that would have been there. And our tour guide was telling us that they actually reckon Paul was, like, one of those sort of shops in the middle there, but I don't know how he could actually tell that that would be true or not, but sure. So if you want to believe that, you're welcome, that Paul's shop is possibly just there. But that is up to you on your heart if you want to believe that or not. But basically, this is what Corinth looked like today, or looks like today. But back then, this was just an incredible, like, this was a huge city which was flourishing. It was like one of those sort of economical hubs. Like, this was just a place. There would have been people everywhere there in that street, going to shops and all these different things. But when I was going through these places in Corinth, and we started going to other places like Ephesus and Laodicea and Hierapolis and all these different places you actually see in Scripture, and you actually run into these guys that you can see, like, there's one there and there's another statue there. These statues of these Roman emperors or Roman generals generally, or these Greek generals or Greek gods or whatever they were, they'd have these statues set up. And you see the detail in them. Like, you can see, like, the individual sort of hair sort of styles they had, and, like, their sweet little goatee going on there on that guy and all these other things. And you'd always see these just incredible detail about what these guys would have looked like. And you'd go up, and each statue was almost the exact same with a facial sort of expression and all these sort of things. So the two guys you see up there is Marcus Aurelius and Hadrian, I'm pretty sure. So these are two guys that we sort of ran into quite a lot. And Domitian, actually, maybe that guy's Domitian, sorry. It's either Hadrian or Domitian, the guy on the bottom left, I'm pretty sure. But so Domitian was sort of known as this emperor who was actually quite cruel. And a lot of people didn't like him, like, he wasn't really nice for Rome. And a lot of people just weren't big fans of Domitian. And then you had Marcus Aurelius, who was this other emperor, and everyone loved him. Like, he brought good things to Rome. And everyone's just like, yeah, there he is. Like, that's Marcus Aurelius. He did great things. Like, we loved Marcus Aurelius. So you had these two guys just there. One that had statues to show how to instill fear. If I am the emperor and you need to obey me through this abuse or whatever is going on. And the other one had a statue of, this is me and this is who I am and I'm going to love Rome, I'm going to do these good things. So you had these two statues of these people put on a pedestal to actually show that this is who they are. One for fear and another one for showing honour and glory to. So we don't really see many statues these days of our in our communities and so on. Like, if you go down to Warners Bay, you'll see a couple of statues down there and other places. But I think the real day where we see this sort of stuff is actually on social media. So we'll go on social media and you go on Instagram, you'll go on YouTube, you'll go on Facebook and all these different things, and we actually put ourselves on a pedestal there. So we'll go up and we'll have, like, this sweet, like, food that we've been eating all week, and we're just like, oh, look at this food. Like, I'm in a cafe. This is going to be amazing. Like, look how good my food's about to be. Like, this is going to be incredible. We go on, you see this other person who's, out at a party maybe, and they're taking that sort of perfect selfie or whatever that might be. You can see up here, like, the Instagram, the reality, all these different things that we try and pose and do this sort of perfect idea. And I don't know if you've actually seen Jumanji, the new one. And I thought it was a great movie. I had a lot of laughs. And I love The Rock. The Rock's great. But I don't know if you can see that sort of top image. But there's a character called Bethany. And the first time we see her is she's actually, like, laying on this, I don't know, it was like a futon or something like that. And she's, like, got her coffee. She's got to get that positioned perfectly. And then she's got to get her hair right. She's got all her makeup and all these sort of things. And you can sort of see the Instagram sort of caption there. It's a bit blurry. But I think it's just like, oh, just woke up, hashtag. And even though she'd been, like, up for probably an hour just getting that perfect image. So you have these sort of ideas in our culture that we've got to sort of be the best, look the best or look the greatest, look at ourselves, build ourselves up, and that sort of aside. So I did this today. I visited this place. I'm so perfect at this. And we see it strongly in our social media. I was looking up a few things on a few things on YouTube and actually saw that there's actually a YouTube video you can watch to actually have the perfect Instagram page. So I'll literally go through and be like, if you do this and you do this and you do this, like, you're going to have the best Instagram page ever. Like, it's just going to be amazing. So you have all these things and we sort of put ourselves on this sort of a pedestal, I guess you'd say. And we sort of have different ways to boast. And I'm not saying social media is a bad thing either. I love social media. I go on my Facebook and sort of see how people are going and I use it as a way to catch up with friends and all that sort of thing. But when it gets dangerous is when we're sort of using it to sort of make ourselves look better and better than someone else or trying to find purpose in that or whatever that might be. That's when it can sort of start to get dangerous and we start boasting and those sort of things. So we see in Corinth that a similar thing, not social media obviously wasn't around, but they were boasting about all these different things. They were boasting about their human leaders. So we see them talking about Apollo and Apollos and all these different things about like how good they are and I follow him and I follow him. And they had this boasting of like my leader's the best and I'm following him because he's the best leader. And then we had other things and they were sort of boasting about themselves like, oh, we're doing all these amazing things. Like they're boasting about their spiritual gifts. I've got the best spiritual gift you can get sucked in. Like mine's better than yours. They're going on saying, this is how good I am. This is how much better I am than everyone else because God's given me this. So they're boasting in the things that God had given them and they're boasting in a bad way, putting themselves on this pedestal. And Paul writes to them and sort of says, look, you know what? I'm going to bring you down a peg or two here. And we see in chapter 11, Paul starts actually saying, look, if you're going to boast, I'm going to actually boast as well. So he starts going along, and if you've got your Bibles there, if you want to look at chapter 11, and we're going to read from verse 21 to 28. So if you would like to follow along. What anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Sorry, I think I've actually got it on here so you can actually follow with me. That's better. Israelites, so am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. I'm at verse 23 now. Are they servants of Christ? Am I out of my mind to talk like this? I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, I spent a night and day in the open sea, I've been constantly on the move, I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger of Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily pressure of my concerns of all the churches. I think we can all really say that Paul really took the Great Commission seriously, didn't he, for starters? But he's gone through more than I think any of us will ever endure in our lives, even just in that list there. But there's probably other things he didn't even put into words. But notice where he says at the start that he says he would be a fool to brag about these things. He'd be a fool. So we get caught up sometimes having this sort of a lifestyle and this sort of thing, and we start boasting about all these things God has given us, whether that's finances, maybe that's friendship, relationships, maybe that's some sort of gift that he may have even given you in a spiritual gift. And we sort of get caught up boasting about these things. I don't know if you've ever heard of the happiness bucket idea. Like we have this sort of a bucket and and there's a void and we just keep trying to fill it up with all these different things to make us happy. Like some of them could be like cars, they could be finances, they could be just having the most money, it could be Xbox, it could be phones, it could be selfies, it could be food. I don't know what it is, but there's so many things we try and fill this void with. But unfortunately, the only thing that none of those things will ever fill that void up. The only thing that will fill that void up is Jesus. And when we live our lives living out that kingdom, that's when that void sort of gets filled. So when we say Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that's when that void gets filled. In Isaiah 43:7, we sort of get this idea of what the meaning and purpose of why we are on the earth. And that is, everyone is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So we were created to bring glory to God. I don't know if you've seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I think the number's 42, that's the meaning of life. The meaning of life is actually in Isaiah 43, so it's not 42 or whatever it is. It is just here. So we're here to bring glory to God, not ourselves. And when we do this boasting, when we go on social media, when we do all these things to make ourselves this high and mighty, we're not bringing glory to God, we're bringing glory to ourselves. And we need to be careful of that. We need to be careful of what we're putting on a pedestal. We need to bring glory to Jesus instead. So instead of that social media post where you're saying, look, I'm looking for validity in this or whatever that might be, let's start looking for that in Jesus. Let's start looking at that in Scripture. Let's look at that in our church. How can we find that purpose and love in our church? Instead of boasting about all these things, actually boast in our church and say, look, I go to this church, it's amazing. And you're going to get loved, you're going to be cared for here instead. So that's the first thing we're going to talk about. The second thing Paul focuses, and we go into chapter 12 now, is that Paul talks about, he brings that focus on weakness, and that instead of bragging on these things, we need to be bragging in God's help in our weakness. So we see here in verse 7 that, wait a minute, I'll put the slide up so we can actually read that as well. So we're in chapter 12. So we actually see that Paul talks about in verse 7 that there's this thorn in his flesh. So we don't actually know what this thorn is that Paul's talking about in verse 7 there. But a lot of people sort of go on is that maybe his eyesight, is it something that sort of prevented him from sharing the gospel better? All these different things. But we really have no idea what it is. And those sort of points that really brought him into this dark place and he didn't know what to do. So there's times when we sort of get in that dark place and we have those thorns in our flesh as well, don't we? Sometimes that could be family falling apart, it could be financial woes, health issues. Different things sort of come in our life that are thorns in our flesh that make our lives fall apart, that make us weaker and we struggle. So Paul had many struggles as we just sort of read through that chapter 11 list. Like there were so many there and I'm glad I haven't had to endure any of those really. But when we see that he calls out three times saying, God, take this away from me, this thorn, this struggle, this weakness that's in my life that is preventing me from doing your good work. And what do we see Jesus, God tell him? God says, he doesn't take it away, but he actually says, encourages Paul to rely on him in that weakness. So he tells Paul, and I think I've highlighted it up there, but yep, it's just there. So my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He tells Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul doesn't show anger towards God through this. I don't know if you've noticed. He doesn't get angry, but he actually says, you know what, I'm relying on God. And he goes on and he sort of says right there and there, for when I am weak, I am strong. So he actually doesn't just groan about this and says, come on, God, like, really? Like, I'm going through this right now and you're just saying that that I just need to get over it and, like, what's going on here? And he's not saying to get over it. He's saying, no, I want you to rely on me. Even in this struggle, in this darkness, in this hard time, in this thorn in your flesh, I need you to look at me and say, look, God's got this. He's with me and he's going to make me stronger. We need to have faith that relies not much on us, but on God. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a hard time, first thing I do is actually try and solve it myself. Straight away, I'm like, oh man, this is really hard. Like, I'm struggling with this. What can I do to try and fix this? And then I'll get on and I'll fail and I'll fail and I'll fail and be like, fair dinkum, I just can't do this. Like, oh, wait a minute, light bulb, God can do this. Like, what am I doing? And then I'll be praying. I'll say, God, look, I really need your help. And not straight away, God will help me in that. Like, that thing will be perfect or that'll be sorted out. But I generally find this peace straight away that God, oh yeah, I can feel you here. You're here and you are helping me in this hard time. And you give me that strength, you give me that patience, whatever I need. And then a couple of weeks go by and all of a sudden they might start getting better or whatever that might be. So when we're going through those struggles, we need to be relying more on God and less on ourselves. Our human weakness is a perfect sign to show God's love and grace. When we're going through those trials as believers, we need to be boasting on that sort of that blessing and joy and that grace that God gives us in those times. It's time to say enough to finding approval to the world and also finding approval in ourselves to try and do these sort of things in our weakness, but actually say, okay, look, it's time to get God. It's time for God to help me in this. It's time to boast about God in these things and bring His glory and that beauty in that. So it's time to say enough to that stuff and actually start boasting in the good things. So I've just got two questions for us quickly, and in a second we're just going to play a song. But where are you finding approval? Are you finding it on social media? Are you finding it in relationships? Are you finding it in stuff? What sort of things are you looking for approval in? And in what ways do you need to let go so you can get God to help you in that weakness? Where do you need to sort of take yourself down a peg so you can let God be the Lord of your life and you can bring Him glory? So while we were at State Youth Camp, there was this song that we sort of started singing in worship, and it was called Another in the Fire, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard that song before, and it really spoke to me, and we've had a couple, my wife and I have had a couple of trials this year, constantly throughout the year, and I just found that this song was just, I felt like this song was wrote for me, just in those trials. In a second we're going to play this song, and I want you, just while you're listening to those words, just stay in your seats and sit down. And we're going to finish our service pretty soon after that. But I just want you to reflect on that verse. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So while that's playing, think about how this looks in your life. Look at the words in the song or reflect on that verse. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Can you throw that on first, Terry? Unfortunately, we don't have the words to the song because it's playing up, but maybe just listen to the words.